A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
And on that food line, there was a big bowl of red, delicious apples. And in perfect penmanship, there was a sign that said, "One apple per student. God is watching." And then there was a whole long line of food. And at the end of the line, there was a big tray of warm chocolate chip cookies. And in a child's scribbling, it said, "Take all you want. God is watching the apples." God has many people as the apple of his eye. And we heard about them today in our scriptures. First of all, Isaiah. Isaiah was called by God to bring the people back. And it was a difficult job. They were hard-headed people. But the Lord kept after him saying, "You, I'm making you a light to all the nations and salvation from the end of the world." Sending Isaiah out to bring the people back. John, St. Paul. Paul persecuted the church, but God had his eye on Paul. He changed his heart. And from attacking the church, he embraced the church. And Paul was the apple of the Lord's eye as he went out preaching to the Gentiles to come. In the Gospel reading, we heard about the baptism of Christ. God the Father called his Son to bring the people, to redeem them from their sins, to bring them back together, united together as one people, one church. Today, it is our God who looks upon all of us as the apple of his eye. We too, by our baptism, are united together with Christ. Or we too are called to be one people, united in Jesus Christ. Perhaps this past Thursday you saw the beautiful rainbow after the sun. And the sun is coming up and it was still raining. A gorgeous creation of God from heaven, the rainbow. But the rainbow means so much. And it was, first of all, it was a sign in the Old Testament of peace. "Never again will I destroy you," because God, through the people in the Old Testament, "Never again will I destroy you, and to show you that I'm a person of a God of my word, I'm going to place a rainbow in the sky. For whenever you see that rainbow, it means that I will never destroy you again." Well, that rainbow signifies so many things. The colors of the rainbow symbolize all the races that God has created, and that we are all united together in that rainbow. And then, did you ever find that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow? You don't find it as it keeps moving to embrace more people, not only with what people we see now, but everyone throughout the whole world are embraced in that rainbow. The people of God, the apple of God's eye, all of us. And finally, in the early days, beginning of time, many of the warriors were attacking one another with the bow and arrow. And the rainbow symbolizes peace. Those who were terrorizing others with the bow and arrow, they took their bow and hung it up on the wall. A time of peace. And so, We are the people that are called to be holy. Excuse me. We are called to be the disciples of Jesus Christ. We are called to keep holy the Lord's commandments. The Lord is calling each of us. Now, how often we find ourselves making excuses? Making an excuse why I can't come to church. I'll send the kids to church instead. My wife is doing all the praying. We make excuses. But God does not accept excuses. When I was in the seminary, we had a study Greek. I never did learn much of it. But in studying Greek, we had a professor by the name of Father Al Hagen. And all of our clocks were synchronized in the seminary, but we found out that if we tossed an eraser up and hit the clock, it would jump a minute. The policy was 7 minutes. If the professor doesn't show up, you leave. And so many a time, tossed that eraser up there, and 7 minutes would get, he'd be gone. Well, he was the type of person that didn't know any of our names, and he would ask us a question and point. Now, his index finger was curved. So, anytime he pointed at somebody, he always turned to the person next to him. So we did that frequently, but just because he had a curved finger. Well, God does not have a curved finger. God is pointing to each one of us to be responsible, because we are called to be holy. Excuse me. We are called to be holy. And how can you live your life as a holy person? First of all, prayer. Do you allot a special time every day for prayer? Or do you just say, well, we pray at mealtime? Well, it's more, not just mealtime, but you spend any time during the day in quiet prayer, asking God to come. Secondly, we are people who are called to service, not to be served, but to serve others. Is there someone in your life right now that you need to serve with the word of, with the word of encouragement, with a compliment, maybe forgiveness? There's somebody in your life right now that needs that word of encouragement, needs to be forgiven. And thirdly, are we very faithful to coming together as a faith community every week and celebrating the Eucharist? The Lord is calling us to be one people, to pray together, and to gather together to serve one another, and not to be served, and to show our love to God and to one another. And so today, we hear in our gospel three people who are called, but we also know that all of us are called to be God's holy people. God is not accepting excuses. He wants us to be faithful disciples. And let us remember, God does not have a crooked finger. He's pointing at you to follow him faithfully.